He is worthy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Powerful song. Beautiful singing today, congregation. That was awesome. Well, we have a couple of things to think about. Today, you maybe picked up the theme going through this service about remembering. And, you know, we read a scripture about the establishment of the Lord's Supper and, you know, remembering the Lord and so on. We're going to hear about more of God's people remembering as we talk about the Passover today in the message. There's a lot of other things to remember, and it so happens that we have an anniversary today to remember. Catherine and Jason have their 17th wedding anniversary today. So we applaud them. Congratulations. Oh, Jason's in the back? Okay. Hey, Jason. Happy anniversary. And that's great. And my dear wife has a birthday today. So let's congratulate her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Martha. Happy birthday to you. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah. And let's, she's looking at me all red-faced. And, I'll hear about it later, I'm sure. But Kathy's got a birthday today?
Yesterday.
Oh, where is she? She's not with us this morning? Okay. Well, be sure to relay our birthday wishes to her. And I was going to say about Martha, not bad for 50, right? I mean, pretty good. Yeah. Hope that makes up for something. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so we remember things like anniversaries, things like marriages, and it's Memorial Day, and we're also remembering with very, how shall I say it, hearts that are kind of in awe of the supreme sacrifice laid down by almost 2.8 million soldiers, men and women, over the years in various conflicts involving the United States of America. And we think of that, and we remember those folks, those families who have been touched by the loss of a loved one through military service. And then, of course, we want to also pray for active duty servicemen, ones who are maybe in the reserves, those who have come home wounded with PTSD. There's all kinds of things going on in terms of those serving our country, and we want to remember those who have given their lives and also pray for those who certainly are continuing to serve in that great tradition of freedom that we as a nation celebrate. So let us spend a moment in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that we can bring before you opportunities to remember those who are special in our lives. We love them so much, Lord. We think of the gift of marriage and how today you're blessing Catherine and Jason with the memory of 17 years of marriage, praising God for the gift of love for one another and for their four kids. And we ask for continued blessing and strengthening upon their lives. We think of birthdays when we celebrate a person who has been meaningful in our lives. And thank you for Martha today on her birthday. Thank you for Kathy Kavenald, who celebrated yesterday. And Lord, I know I'm missing many who have had birthdays throughout this year. But Lord, we celebrate each one, the gift of life you have given us. And Lord, we pray that we might be able to honor you through the lives that you have given us, that our lives might be dedicated to your praise and your glory. And so we lift up those who are celebrating important days in their life today and during this season of the year. And then, Lord, we also want to join role today in praying for active duty servicemen. We think of Garrett today, who's serving in his deployment, and we ask God that you would be close to him, lifting him up, providing him with what he needs to serve well, surrounding him with good friends, reminding him of your presence in his life, Lord. We pray for him today. And for others in our church fellowship who are involved in the reserve program of our army, be with them, Lord. Be with any who are wounded today, suffering in military hospitals or having come home with an injury. Lord, be with them, support them, and God, anyone who's struggling, even mentally, having come home with their minds and hearts shaken by what they've seen and what they've been through. So, Lord, it's a good day to be here remembering. And we remember most of all you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this world as the sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. We pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we take time to remember. I'd like to read a text from the Old Testament today, from Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, and then 21 through 28. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Then verse 21 and on. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. This is the word of the Lord. Tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day as a national holiday. And there are many stories as to the actual beginnings of Memorial Day, which was originated to honor the dead of the Civil War. With over two dozen cities and towns laying claim to being the birthplace of this special day. So it was a very popular thing to do in those days right following the Civil War, to lay flowers on the graves of fallen soldiers. On May 30th, 1868, 3 years after the Civil War ended, General John Logan, National Commander of the Army, made an official proclamation in which he stated that it was not important where Memorial Day began, but it was important that it was established, since after the Civil War, our nation needed perhaps more than at any other time in its history to bind up its wounds once again, and to become truly the United States of America. But it wasn't until 98 years after Logan's proclamation, May of 1966, that Waterloo, New York, was officially declared to be the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson. In our time, the last Monday of every May, we set aside that day as Memorial Day to remember and honor the approximately 2.8 million men and women who have given their lives in the service of our country since its inception. And we have freedom today because of the brave soldiers who made that supreme sacrifice, dying for the country they loved. And so today, I wonder, even though we've prayed for them, if we could just honor all of those fallen with a moment of silence and give thanks to God for that sacrifice. And today, because of the grace of God and the sacrifice of patriots who put their lives on the line, we have personal liberties that some citizens of other countries can only dream about. Truly, we are thankful for those who have worn the uniform, and today especially those who have given their lives. Thankfully, we are gathered here today as Christians, and we also have a heritage of millions who have gone on before us and have given their lives, martyred for spreading the gospel around the world, a gospel that is the life-changing message of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death and his resurrection from the dead. And I'd like to take a moment to pray for missionaries and others who have given their lives for the sake of the gospel. And if you know someone by name or think of someone that's been meaningful in your life, whisper a prayer for those families in particular. But let's have another moment of silence for those who have given their lives in for the sake of the gospel. And so let's today consider why it is important for us to take time to remember. First of all, memorials remind us of the past. In Exodus 12, which I read as a text today, the Lord wanted his people to remember their deliverance from Egypt as a lasting ordinance throughout all generations. This is a day you are to commemorate, verse 14 of chapter 12 of Exodus. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. This commemoration of the Passover, when the angel of death passed over the firstborn of Israel, because the blood of a perfect lamb was painted on their doorposts, was to forever be a time to teach the children and to remind themselves of just how great and loving God really is. It's kind of sad how many with a Christian heritage today act as though God is irrelevant to daily life. Maybe going to church or thinking of being a believer is something that they know they've come from, but it's not necessarily something living and vibrant in their own lives. Maybe their faith isn't something that is making an impact on others. So many in the world today see precious little in the way of a viable alternative to their own meaningless and hopeless existences. And perhaps the church has done little to assist them in seeing who Jesus really is and proclaiming him as the one whom to know is life eternal. As we read the Old Testament, we discover that except for a remnant of the faithful, that the Israelites largely began to live their lives like the Gentiles that surrounded them, taking on the customs and even worshiping the gods of the Gentile people surrounding them. And we think of how easy it is for us in our day to accommodate ourselves to a worldly system that has little use for God, and how kind of inoculated we become just by being surrounded by those who don't hold God high. How quickly we forget God's faithfulness toward us. How he yearns for a relationship, not only with us, but others in this world today who are still outside of Christ. God's heart is still for the lost in this world. And he has placed us here to be those who would reflect the love of Christ to others, share his gospel message with others. And so this is why we are called to set aside time in our lives to worship God, to be regular in remembering where we be without Jesus in our lives, to express hearts of gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ, with a view toward reaching others as well. Memorials remind us of the past, but secondly, they also reward us in the present. There's a present value to these memorials. It's not just to look back on them, but it's also to see them as points of strengthening in our present lives. Without what Jesus did in the past, we would have little hope and comfort in the present, would we? As we look back on what Jesus has done for us, we gain courage and faith to trust him with today's needs. We can sing a great hymn like we just sang moments ago, "Great is thy faithfulness," and mean it from our hearts as we remember what Christ has done. In that great hymn, we sing, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." Think of that statement. All that we have needed, God's hand has provided. We proclaim that we are trusting God for what we need today. Scripture declares again and again the faithfulness of God to his people. We serve the living God who was faithful in the past and who will continue to be faithful into the present and on into the future. And so today, the Church of Jesus Christ is being called to a renewal, I believe, a renewal of our belief that we are serving the living God who promises to provide all that we need. I think of the verse from Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." A number of years ago, I received a call from a friend from a former congregation that saying that the 19-year-old daughter of a mutual friend of ours had been tragically killed in a car accident in Florida, and that our mutual friend's son, who had been driving the car, was in a coma in the hospital in critical condition. He eventually survived this accident, but our friend's daughter, with all the potential in the world for the future, lost her life. And at the funeral, a statement was made by this bereaved father, and I was told about it. It amazed everyone who was present that a father going through this kind of deep loss and grief could say these words. He said, "Perhaps my deepest grief is knowing that I will never see what our daughter would have become for God." And what a remarkable reaction to such a gut-wrenching loss. Can you imagine yourself being in the position of that dad? And, you know, daughters are the apple of a father's eye, you know. And this gal had just so much potential. She was being used of the Lord on her college campus. And he was grieving over the fact that he would never get to see what his daughter would become for God. My friend was able to remember all that God had done through his daughter's brief life and in the midst of his own grief. And to me, that's an example of how remembering God's faithfulness served as a present reward, a moment of comfort in one of his deepest hours. That's what remembering can do. Remembering what God has done in the present moment can comfort us even in a moment of extreme grief. You know, God doesn't provide or promise us a rose garden in life, does he? As Christians, we know that we are not immune from the problems and tragedies of life. And yet the good news is that he sees us through. He's with us in our darkest hours. When we remember the past, God sees us through the present hour when we have needs that go beyond what we think is our capacity to handle them, providing us with his peace, his strength, his comfort to see us through. The Passover ceremony that we read about in Exodus 12 told these Jews once a year to remember just how awesome their God was in delivering Israel. And also remembering that what he did in the past, he can do again. Often Israel would recite their past. In Psalms, you have examples of them looking back on their past, how God had been faithful to them. God had been awesome in their lives in what he had done in the past, and so they could draw from that faithfulness in the past to see them through in the future. And they could come alive to his purposes in a fresh and new kind of way. And, you know, we can think of this as something they did once a year, but let's remind ourselves that every day it's possible to look back on what God has done through us in Christ, done for us in Christ as he died on the cross, taking care of our sins, and then as he rose again, breaking sin's power once and for all. I mean, that is a tremendous blessing in the present. And it's possible because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, refreshing us and renewing us in that central truth of the past, that God in Christ has done what is necessary for our salvation. I came across the term safety valve Christians a while back, and I don't remember exactly where I heard it, but essentially a safety valve Christian is someone who goes to church, listens to a lot of sermons, messages, maybe reads some books, in the hopes that they will have sort of a safety valve against suffering or tribulation in this life. Almost as if one takes in enough of God's word, he or she will be insulated or somehow immunized from any adversity or suffering. You know, things go better with God, you know, becomes sort of their way of thinking. And that's a dangerous way to think, isn't it? I wish it was that simple. We think of verses in Scripture where Jesus himself said in John 16:33, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Get ready, be prepared for tribulation, for trouble as God's children. But know that he has overcome the world. He has been faithful. He will remain faithful. And so believe in him, trust in him, cling to him. Similarly, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says there, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." The fullness of life in Christ is not heaven on earth, per se, but it nevertheless is a right now, everyday experience as we celebrate the awesomeness and faithfulness of God through praise to God, through lives of prayer, through lives of service to others. It reminds us of all of how faithful God is and how he can be trusted as we look to him for our present meaning and purpose in our lives, even when things aren't going exactly right in our own circumstances. And so these memorials remind us of the past, they reward us in the present, and thirdly, memorials assure us of the promised future. A little further on in the text, in Exodus 12, 24 and 25, it says, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants when you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised. Observe this ceremony." That's the words I want to emphasize to you, as he promised. Never forget that God is a God of promise. He instructed Moses to lead people out of Egypt into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Exodus 3:8 says. God made a promise, and he honored it. Just as Moses, who led the people out of Egypt, and later on Joshua, who led them into the promised land, saw that God kept his word, so we too can believe the same thing. We often need a memorial to remind us of God's promise to never forsake us. And so when we pray, when we read our Bibles, let us remember that we have that memorial, God's word, which is something we can cling to and be reminded of, the promises that it contains. We can remember what God has done and will do for you, for each of us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so as we conclude today, be as grateful as you can possibly be for our national freedom, won for us by those who made the supreme sacrifice of their lives. And as we do, never forget what Jesus did for us as something even more important. He died for something that means the most it could possibly mean for our lives. Jesus died that we might have life eternal. In the story of the Passover, the blood of a lamb was marked on the doorposts of the Israelites' doorposts, and this caused the destroyer, the angel of death, to pass over the households that were marked with blood, thus granting them life. And we can see in here a symbol pointing forward to the blood that was spilled on Calvary's cross by the Son of God for our sake, so that death would pass over us as well because of Jesus' blood shed for us. It's symbolic. It points us to the cross. And the cross is the instrument of death upon which the very Lamb of God would give his own life centuries later. And we, by faith, in the sufficiency of this sacrifice, might therefore live forever in God's kingdom. This is good news for us today, to remember what God has done and to keep reminding ourselves of all that he's done, so that we can believe and trust in his promises for us. We should never forget the many soldiers who died for our freedom here in America, but most importantly, we must never forget our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his own life on a cross that we might have the gift of eternal life. And so for that, I invite you to give thanks and praise to the Lord. He is good. Amen.